too much of our project was sort of hinging on the like phenopackets interaction with these things, and we tried to get that understandable from our side. There's like schemas that you have to change, and it seems like it will work, but there's no like good way to do it, and most of it ends up like pointing to we can either wait for phenopackets to have force environment phenopackets, or do some sort of editing in the actual environmental ontology and like add, so it would require adding like fiends or like smaller aspects of the environment into each environment class. So for instance, if you had like a high plains environmental class, then you would have to add like environmental attributes of that class to the class so that you could reason over them. And that's an enormous task, and one that I don't think anyone is committed to doing. Mm-hmm. So it kind of it stalled out, I would say.
I'm gonna just copy Chris's comments in here. I was making sure someone had it. Let's see. Okay, it's this one. I'll put Chris's comments in the notes here.
Yeah, and Elizabeth and I, we discussed a little bit also like the Chris comments. Uh-huh. And she mentioned that at CIRAD, they did a prototype. In fact, Leo was involved in the prototype, where what they did, they took like the sorghum germplasm information and the passport data information that they have, and they mapped that, you know, on a map, and using like the environment, like specific environment that they knew, that they know of, they were able to find like outliers that were probably like obvious mistake in the passport information. Oh. So this kind of also quality check that can be done if we have an integrated if we have integrated data with like the threats, like the passport information with the threat, and then, you know, the germplasm and the environment.
They mapped them to see where the cultivars were being grown.
Yeah. So this plus this, and then they look at the information that was part of the passport data. So this is a minimum information required for germplasm. And so it can contain threats and stuff like that. And so, yeah, they use that to identify like mistakes. Mm-hmm. So it was more quality. So that's also something once we have, if we have the ontology in place, I mean, that would be a good,
the quality check. Yeah.
Yeah. To show the really the power of having ontology than, you know, uniformized data.
So they actually identified like an error where they had been assigned the wrong geographic area or something.
Yeah, but not only the geographic area, but it can be also like at the threats. So if you have like value of the threats that are totally insane, considering like the variety and the environment, because you can see like other germplasm. Yeah, I don't know exactly. I mean, I haven't seen the prototype, but Elizabeth would be able to tell you more of it. But yeah, basically the idea is really this. So once you have information about the genetics or the germplasm and then the environment, you are able to do those kind of, you know, check.
And where was this done?
CIRAD.
CIRAD, okay.
Yeah, for sorghum. So the guy, the people working on that will be at Phenoharmony, so it can be also, maybe they can demo a little bit of that. Or maybe, yeah, that would be part of a presentation, I don't know, but yeah. But that can be an idea of having like maps. You know, it's good to be able to build some maps, but that's,
one thing, you know, that we've run across a few times in talking about the TO traits and these mappings from, maybe we want to think about integrating with the food ontology.
Yeah. That can be something too.
Some of our traits are more related to the food products. So we don't want to create terms that overlap with them. And this maybe goes back to what Chris is talking about with PICO development, also integrating with ENVO. We've started to do that a little bit. We're importing some of their terms that we might think about for the TO. Oops. One of the other things I think that people are really interested in is the INCA tool.
Yeah, I'll go to some meat terms.
Yeah. We still don't really have a term submission thing. So where are we at in terms of the INCA tool in order to get it working? We had a quick little meeting with Dan a little bit ago, a couple weeks ago. And you were telling me yesterday that you fixed something. So this is all...
No, I didn't fix anything. I just find a way to... So we've identified like a weird behavior of the tool where you will find like duplicated terms. And
oh,
I
that
just
was what it was.
Yeah, just find how to fix that. But I didn't push anything. I mean, that would be great if we can have like a working version for PhenoHarmonies, because that would be very important to show people that they can contribute the terms directly to the
TO. Simon, you were talking, was it Simon Judd you were talking with?
Simon Judd from EBI, yeah. Because the INCA tool is using the EBI, like the OLS, no, JUP.
Right.
Because INCA tool is using like the OLS API. Yeah. So, and because, I was having a meeting with him on different topic, but then
And what was the answer on that? What was the reason that we were getting those multiple?
Oh, it's just that the way that the tool is calling the API, it just bring back everything. And so the idea is instead to use a parameter that would filter only the ontology where the term is defined and not where the ontology where the term is reused.
Okay. And so that's something they have to change on their end.
And I put that on I did the information on the issue tracker yesterday.
Oh, okay. So you posted on their issue tracker. Okay, great.
Yeah.
So it's on the EBI.
No, not on the EBI. That's not a problem of EBI. This is a problem on INCA.
Oh, okay. It's on the INCA tracker. Okay. So it's something that we have to fix on our end.
Yep.
But I mean, if we want to get this INCA tool working, do we need Dan's help to do this?
I don't know. I have to look again because he sent us. So when I was in Covadis, he showed us like the tool that he developed for having all the configuration file working and stuff. So I've tried to play with that a little bit when I was in Covadis. And so I think I understand how the tool works and how I can modify it to work with our repo that have a kind of weird structure. So yeah, it's just a matter of doing it properly and then pushing the changes on the repo that we have on Plantium and then, look if it works or not.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I can probably work on that.
That'd be great to have a prototype.
Yeah.
Pankaj, do you see that as a priority, the INCA tool?
Tell me, what does it do one more time?
The idea of it is for people can add terms and then it'll incorporate them into the ontology. Let's see if
like term genies is like the replacement.
Kind of like term genie, although a little bit more roundabout.
Yes.
And it relies on the design patterns for the... Let's see if we can show a demo of it. I have to remember where it is. It is on in our TO, right?
No. It's on repo.
Oh, it's on its own. Okay, right. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, and I think that's something that we can sell as being like an output of the Pantheon project.
Right. So when you go in here, so you have to pick a pattern. So these are both Pico. So I go to Pico YAML, right?
Yeah, Open EFWorks.
And then say we can look at the exposure table. Oh, no.
Yeah, but that's, yeah, okay. I have to tweak a little bit. Yeah.
But I thought we had some in here for teal.
Yeah, so for.
Why are the teal ones not showing up?
Because you have to do two configuration at the top.
Okay, there we go. Right.
But I'm not sure that the teal one is working.
Yeah, I don't know if this is working. Okay, so let's look at morphology.
And then select the morphology.tsv.
Yeah. Okay, so then this shows us the all the terms that are in that pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And then if someone wanted to add a new one, they click here, right?
Yeah, and they go on attribute. And no, attribute label. I don't know. Yeah, so that would be like a physical object quality, and that's kind of there.
And then here you can put like leaf. See, this is what we're talking about, the issue with the multiple versions of them coming back from OLS.
And that is fine as long as it's all the same term.
Yeah, yeah, but that's, we find a solution to solve that. So that would be, and then, yeah.
And then here we could put like, I have to put the color, like if I want to do leaf color.
No, the color is already there. Not
yeah, right. Yeah, 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 but that was just an example.
Just say leaf hairiness or something.
I don't know if there's a pedo term for that.
Yeah, there is a
pedo. There should be a hair.
For that.
Hair length.
But this is an OBA term.
But that would be like pubescence or...
But this, I'm supposed to, you should put it in this column though.
Yeah, I don't know. You have
that is only for ID.
Yeah, that's a strange bug. That can you like press enter or something? Yeah, and like go. Yeah.
And so if we go leaf, I don't know if it'll give us an error if I put color.
Just say leaf epidermis thickness.
Uh-huh. I'll just say thickness. How's that?
Yeah.
There we go.
Then go and
add. Maybe that one is generated though.
This yeah, one, yeah.
I don't know why. Okay, there we go. So there's a few things that still need to be.
So attribute would come automatically if we say eerie label?
Yeah, no. In fact, the eerie label will call automatically if you say if you say sickness.
Yeah. But why can't I enter it over here though? That's weird.
I don't know. Last time you also have this. At this kind of bug.
So my question is this something we can work on, or do we need Dan to work on this? And if we do need Dan's help, then maybe Pankaj and Melissa need to talk about, you know, his time and how that works. You know, if this is a priority of ours and we want to get it working, then we need.
So the question would be, how much of the work is needed?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and else, Justin, if I ask you to take it on, would you be able to do it? That's the question. Yeah. Before I ask whether Dan works on it or how much of Dan's time is required. If this is something which they need a tool that is required by them, then I have to check out what's on their priority list.
Yeah, and apparently they also need this tool for Monarch.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently it's just a matter of also, I don't know who is in charge of Monarch, probably Melissa and Chris, to decide that this is also a priority, and then Dan would be working on that. But I mean, I think to have like a working version of it by Phenoharmonist, we can do that. Because it's just a question of having like the configuration file working.
Mm-hmm.
But then like having the automatic push to our TO repo or Pico repo that need to be developed.
Okay. Yeah, and I think the way they have it set up in Monarch is it opens an issue. And so we discussed that a little bit too.
Ah, yeah, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and the other thing we talked about when Dan was here was, I mean, if we're going to use this for developers, like curators like me, I need to be able to access it through the dev version, you know, right? Because if it's pulling from EBI, it's only pulling in the live version. And so that's another thing we had talked about when Dan was here, like if we can configure this to point at like our ontology repo rather than the, you know, can we use the Plantium API instead of the...
So tell me if there is a configuration file based thing or it is hard coded somewhere. That could be one way of doing it is generally you run the software, but you also provide your make file or your configuration file, which has the desired URIs pointing to the APIs from your servers.
Yeah, that might be able to be set up in the configuration. So
yeah, but it just the JSON that will be returned by the two APIs will be different. So you probably need also to write a bit of code to address the new API.
Right, that would have to be tweaked.
New API. Why do we need to have a new API?
Yeah, but because currently it's using your OLS. So if we want that to work with the Amigo.
No, Amigo already has an API.
Yeah, yeah, but the JSON file, the output of the APIs are different. Just the structure of the file, not the content.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And so you just need to parse this file, and for now the parser works with the, and the query works for the OLS API. It doesn't work for the Amigo API.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean.
But that's just some development that need to be added. I mean, I agree that's not.
So maybe we could arrange a meeting. I could set up a meeting with Dan and we could follow up on this and like see what else has to be done to get a, and maybe Justin could take part, get a working prototype of it.
Right. I think Justin, you should actively work on this thing.
Okay. I don't think I've seen this before.
Do, ma'am.
Well,
now you have.
Good thing I'm on the call today.
We got some fun in store.
I would say, why don't the four of you should go ahead and take a look at it, and Justin, if you can take a look at the code and see how it works before I commit any time or things like that.
Yeah.
That's right. Awesome. So I think you guys internally, if you can review it this week and come back and tell me what is required. And how much time would it take, right? So then I can ask whether they are going to contribute from their end or I give them things from my end, okay? If we can have this thing, then it is perfectly fine.
Yeah, I mean, if we're going to have it, we need to get it operational.
Hmm?
Yeah, but I think for Phenoharmonies, we can stick with the OLS API, I don't know. So
yeah,
for the people to, so at least that will be the first short-term goal.
Right, as
working. Prototype. Yeah.
Okay, so I think there are a lot of things that are happening, and I want you guys to focus on what do you want to do in the renewal. There are a lot of thoughts. But when I write or you or we all write the proposal, we need very concrete things what we want to do. Mm-hmm. And it's very different from all the conversation that we have had so far. So tell me what is required and how do you want to do it?
So I don't know if this is within scope or not, but the questions that I get presenting or at my poster every time I go to a conference is kind of the same question comes up over and over again, and it's always, can I come to this website plantium.org and put in my gene with either its name or its sequence and find homologous genes and the functions of those homologous genes and give me a prediction of what pathways my gene might be interacting with and what phenotypes that gene might affect.
Okay.
And I think we have all that data now. It's just like just a couple of like structured queries would need to be done.
We don't really store homology information directly in plants.
No, right. actually, if we want, remember the Gene Ontology Amigo actually does use Panther data to provide the homologs, if I understand it correctly.
Yeah, there's some indirect homology there, but I think...
So you would be able to go to the gene family or go to the actual homologs and get the annotation of those. Is that what you're looking at, right? Let's say if I wanted rice gene 1, come and search it on the plantium, I may get one or two annotations with it, but if somebody wants to come and click and say, what else do I know about this gene or it's based on its homology to maize and wheat?
Right. I think it's more likely that people will come that they don't know a name for their gene. Like they're working in potato or they're working in tomato or they're working on raspberry or something, and they have a gene and they've identified it as a gene that's important to their pathway because its expression goes up after their treatment or something like that. So they have a list of candidate genes and they want to be able to go in and find out what predictive power we have to say what function those genes have. So we have genes that are similar, like homologous genes in other species that have similarities structurally to their gene of interest, and they have annotations to let's say like a stress resistance or not. Maybe they have an annotation to something completely different from what these people are studying. So that narrows the pool of candidate genes. I think our data acquisition and presentations don't actually solve questions, but they help people inform better hypotheses. And that's one of the things that is really important about hypothesis generation is just finding those, like, what have other people done? What is the evolutionary path of this gene via homology show me about what its potential function might be in my plant? And then if you use their like distance from the species of interest, so like I'm doing potato. So if I find an annotation to like a rice gene, that's several steps removed. But if I find an annotation that's a homolog in tomato or potato and pepper, then I can tell that those plants are closer homology-wise, and those genes might be closer homology-wise. So the function of the homologs in those genes, in those species, probably inform the function of my gene of interest, right?
So something like if we can provide just a thought that a phylogenetic gene tree, and then on the side we say what annotations are there on each branch,
right? And say like just kind of summarize those up into like different categories, like all of the genes that are most closely related to your gene, we see like a photosynthesis emphasis or like a leaf development emphasis or something like that, you know?
Yep. So Justin, do you have the link for Mayans's tool?
Yeah, give me a second. I think that's the one you're talking about. I put it in the group chat.
Okay.
Okay, so, can I click on that?
There we go.
Okay, submit. No, there should be a preset query on the top.
It's right above the box. Nope, down.
Yep,
preset. Yeah.
And submit. So, let's say you take the homologs for HOM is a button next to Glymer.
Right.
Yeah, click on that. Right. So we see that there are homologs for this number of species. And if you click on rice, the red box.
Okay. So rice, there's 12.
112.
112.
Yeah. I don't think the tree is working, but click on the AL, no, on the top. There's a line and tree. Oh. I don't think it's working.
It's not working.
Back. Is the tree working?
No.
Or did not go back? So we...
Do you have to check them all? You have to like check all, them and then hit tree?
Check all
and then tree.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that worked now. Well, at least...
It aligned them all in a straight line.
No, go back. I think it should...
No. It hasn't done the alignment yet.
Oh, there was a submit button at the bottom.
To the bottom, and there's a submit button. Okay. It can take, I think, a little bit of time because it ran Clustal W.
But it should... Work something similar. Go back to that page.
Yeah.
Oh, I think, okay. This was written years ago. I think ETA is no longer running.
You had to submit an email address to submit the tree?
I don't think that'll help. I don't know if the tree will work.
Probably it may not be working right now. It's been a while that...
We haven't kept this up to date.
Go back. But if you click on the ONT button...
Like here?
It should work on that, right?
There's no annotations for that, though.
Well, let's go back and try a different one.
I mean, even though this is not like perfectly functional right now, but this is exactly or right up the alley of what I was referring to.
No, yeah, I mean, it is something similar, I believe.
Right.
The original Plantium.
I know.
The site is always just a kind of a test site.
I know.
Okay.
But this, yeah, this is.
No, do one thing. Do one thing. I think click and go back.
Go back to what?
Go to submit new genes. I think I just.
Submit new genes, okay.
Again, preset query, submit. Click on the Arabidopsis one. AT, no, it's, yeah, and ontologies.
There we go.
This is what we get, right?
So this is showing the different PO terms that are annotated to that gene.
Yeah. So what I'm trying.
Flowering state.
And on the right hand side, on the left hand side column, gene toolbar, there is a yellow button, ont. Click on that.
This one up here?
Yeah, click on that. See something happens. There you go. There are two homologs. And they tell you what are the differences between the two.
Well, that's cool.
Right? And you have X's on the columns and rows. You can remove the rows and things that you don't want.
Oh.
This is great. Like, I love this.
Yeah, this is very cool.
So the Go is not showing up here, but I think we can add Go. And if we can add it.
This is connecting to the old database still, the old Amiga 1.6. Yeah. We have to talk to the new one.
Yeah, and if we can throw in a tree on the side, on the left-hand side, I think that would actually help, right?
Yeah, tree for the actual genes, right?
And just click on the
homology.
And click on the INT button. There you go. And on the top is a view in graphical format.
Okay.
Technically, it should throw up an interaction tree as well. What happened?
I don't know.
Hit it again.
I think you zoomed out.
No, I didn't do anything.
Oh, on the top, just a circle. There
we go.
Somewhere there.
There we go.
Just Laurel laptop is, you know.
Yeah.
Struggling a lot.
Yeah, so at least there is gene interaction data, there is ontology data, there is homology data. We have all, as Austin said, that we have all these things. I think it's the data visualization. How do we put it together and make it queryable?
And link it all up.
Yeah, it seems like we have all the information, all the power to do this. It's not as if homology is tough to do, can we like externally search, like do an external call to Go, then come back with all of the, or do we store the sequences of all the genes anywhere in our database?
Yes, we do.
Oh, well, not on Amigo though.
Not on Amigo, but we do have SQL.
So technically, I believe what Austin is...
like a blast, right? That would be pretty straightforward.
I think what you're asking is...
I believe the DSQ button actually is download sequences, and it'll download the FASTA info.
Yeah, so when you did the, when we were running through this, you entered genes in, but you entered the, their like actual gene names and gene IDs. I think the tool really just needs to be expanded to people who don't, who are working with genes that do not have names, do not have annotations or anything at all. They just have a sequence.
Right.
So the first step is just then doing a quick blast against the genes we have.
So in the meantime, click on the home, HOM button, lol. And while I believe what this is what you get it. So what Austin is asking is that if we can run a blast server and allow the user to come in either using your gene query or if you can come and blast, find the best matches to your sequence, you and that leads you into this whole piece of information. Say, okay, here you get into the gene, you see its annotation based on the homology or a set of homologies. So based on the blast results, Justin, you can say take top 10, and that becomes your input query for this tool, right? And then you start providing the same information about its tree, about its ontology annotations and its interactions and things like that. Right?
Yeah, I mean, that's essentially it. This, has this ever seen the light of day? This, or is this just a dev site somewhere?
I don't think it's ever really been advertised, but I mean, it's accessible by anyone.
Man, I think this is really cool.
Yeah, it's
pretty cool. I think we showed you guys this like 4 years ago.
I've seen a screenshot of this before, like a really, really long time ago, like you said. But
Austin came.
I feel like we've been sitting on a gold mine here.
So go back. Click on the number one on the left-hand side, the columns. Yeah, click on that number. There you go. Now check all.
Cluster one contains 139.
Yeah, view annotations.
It's all based on the Imparanoid analysis, right?
Right. And, yes. And on the top, there is a button that just says view annotation for all genes. Yeah,
so there's...
And you will see that which ones are more relevant, right? These are members...
Yeah. And if you click, that's great because that's even cross-referencing annotations like across multiple functions and locations.
Right. And based on the genes that were in that gene family. All right.
I mean, it doesn't know anything about the way the ontology is structured.
No, it doesn't. All it is saying is one-on-one.
Yeah.
All the genes in that cluster number one from these whatever annotations are available. So it looks like there were not many annotations for every species that were in that cluster. But I believe if we start updating the data, we might start seeing these kinds of information. Right?
Mm-hmm. And it's just tied to the PO right now, right?
It's right now, it's only...
Yeah, actually, I'm not even sure it's connected to Planetology. I think it's the old archive, planetology.org stuff.
Oh, okay. But it doesn't have Go. It's not linked to Go or anything right now.
No, it's, if I remember correctly, it's directly querying the old MySQL databases.
Okay.
I mean, I know it is for the homology data and the interaction data.
Yeah.
We actually created the interaction tables for this site.
So question for you, Justin, how much effort would be required to point it to our new database? because it's no more a MySQL. So instead of a
I don't want to like say it's really easy, but I don't know how hard it would be. I mean, Miles did almost all this work. I just kind of oversaw him.
Oh, that's right, Miles.
So I'd have to go back and look at the thing. It probably wouldn't be that bad because I just have to translate those MySQL things to use the browser or the Amigo API instead.
Yeah, and it's basically a database query, right? MySQL query.
Well, no, it'd be have to be changed from a database query to a
API query.
API query.
Yep. Yeah. And probably the formatting, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So if that makes sense, so only thing left on over here is to enable the users to blast against the gene sets, or
I know you say that's the only thing left, but that's actually quite complicated to do from here.
Yeah, I'm sure it's not just a super easy thing.
No. Here's what I'm trying to do. Most likely, I mean, on the best way of doing it is we have the gene clusters, for example. And I don't know the gene alignment tool or something, but it does provide, that does create, once you create the alignments, it does provide you a consensus alignment, consensus sequence of that alignment of the gene family. So now instead of storing each and every gene, we store in the BLAST database the consensus sequence, right? And the people, so people are blasting against not the individual genes, but against the gene cluster consensus. So based on the best hit, you come to a view like this. Okay, click on it, and you come to that particular cluster, right?
I think I get what you're saying. The problem isn't necessarily, the problem is getting it to run BLAST at all. Not necessarily what it's against.
But problems, running a BLAST should not be a problem.
We don't want to run BLAST directly on the server, so we have to connect it to run it somewhere else. That's what the ETA thing was there for before. But I don't know if the CGRP still maintains the ETA site to be able to handle that for us.
Wow. Just hijack the NCBI's, run a BLAST server on our BLAST on our servers. Don't worry about the CGRP.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. We don't want to run BLAST on our servers, directly on the web servers, because it'll swamp it. Right.
Can you run it on the iPlan?
Possibly, but I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's the same thing. We have to figure out how to do that. And we had a mechanism to do that using the ETA, and we could possibly translate that to using Cyverse or MCBI or whatever, but we have to figure out how to do that before we worry about what we're even trying to run BLAST against. I'm just saying it's not as simple as just processing it locally. We have to figure out that part.
So let's while you are having a discussion, can you start while you're looking at the INCA thing, have a discussion with Chris Sullivan that what are the implications required for us running a public BLAST server?
Okay.
And I don't want to go through this. I remember previously we used to have this. What is that? There used to be a BLAST server running, actually.
Yeah, I had one running through Drupal a long time ago.
I don't think it ever worked.
Yeah, I don't.
How much traffic are we anticipating? I mean, how resource-intensive is BLAST? I mean, I've ran it locally personally, but that's obviously N equals one.
So if we were, for example, running on the consensus sequences only, that's 45,000 sequences, and that's very small set. It should not take a very long, large amount of resources.
Yeah, I mean, I think in theory we could run it directly on the server. I just, as a practice, I think that's generally not a good idea.
Right. I think the cybers people were very, I mean, when I talked to them in February, they were all like really excited about the idea of like working with like data management and people that do like data science to get like more round trip type stuff going in and out of their servers. So I don't know if this is a possibility, but just having one of them on board might help us run it like through whatever infrastructure they offer. Maybe they have something already.
Like a virtual machine or something.
Yeah. We are already running a VM so over there. So we need to find out. So first try to find out from Chris.
Mm-hmm.
Running an NCBI like NCBI version of the Blast, not whatever these guys or the public server version.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and that way we should work on getting it out.
Copy this to our notes.
Does Amigo run a Blast?
I think there was an option for it at one point, but I don't know if it ever worked.
Not anymore, I guess.
Sorry, I didn't mean this to be like a incredibly long tangent, but this is just my feedback from like the people I've interacted with at conferences as of late.
No, I think that having a feedback and trying to work towards that goal is perfectly fine, Austin, because our data is the commodity and user base and working with the user base it helps us move in the direction where there's more acceptance. And because building a resource and developing ontologies and integration doesn't make sense if the users are not able to use it.
Right.
Yeah.
So looking at, sorry, just going back, Go did have on the older Amigo a way to run Blast, but they never updated it for the new one.
Yes. So I would say, yeah, go ahead. I would say, go ahead and ask Chris Sullivan that what is it required and how can we run it and test it. So I would say start with that and don't worry about the Drupal interface. Get some better interface.
Right.
And the whole idea is we should try using some consensus sequences or just run it against a couple of gene family instances that you have to come to. And the best hit should lead to that particular gene entry in the Miles database, for example. So if I remember correctly, when you were Glol, you were on the annotation pages on that thing, the term names actually go to plantium.org or actually go to dev.plantium.org.
So if we go to ontology again. Maybe this one, like
click on any of the terms, it will actually go in there.
Oh, yeah, cool.
So right now, see, it's just going.
Yeah, it still thinks it's the older style query, so the new site doesn't know what to do with it.
And same way, right. If you click on the gene, that should go to the actual Amigo.
Like here.
Yeah. I think that's a great way to get people into the ontology and looking at it, too, because they're going to see this, like, okay, all these genes pretty much seem to be stacking up really along the fruit axis or along this fruit term. Let's see what this fruit term has to say about that, you know?
Yeah, so this
is the new, it's harder to do with the genes now because the Amigo stores them different.
Mm.
So you can't create a URL directly using those AT numbers. It's got to use the, that's broken. It's got to use the like tear locus IDs.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I mean, we can have it go to a search page, but the browser itself, there's no way to construct a URL that directly goes to the, you know, AT1G76130 page.
So even leading up to a search results, that is fine.
Yeah, we can do that pretty easy, and we can get to the term pages pretty easily. It's the the gene IDs, the way they're stored in the Solar indexes.
That's fine. So what I'm getting at is that between the user and the Amigo Plantium, I think this, what we are seeing over here, that becomes the first landing page in terms of queries. And then it follows for any details if you need it, then you go to Amigo to see the ontology tree and all sorts of other things. But this is only for genes. I don't know how it would work for the germplasms.
I think it doesn't make that big of a difference. It just kind of stores them in the same way. So I don't know if it matters.
Right. So there might be multiple ways of getting into, or a fourth way of getting into. One is on gene base, another one is on another thing. And so what you were showing, for example, in PhenoScape, the rows can be species. And the phenotypes, list of phenotypes that you were showing, lolute can be the one on the each column, right?
Right.
Wherever it was.
Yeah, I got too many windows open now.
No, that's fine. So I think we can work around this thing. So I would say go ahead and explore the BLAST options that are available. I think that is a very good suggestion, and we should implement it. And for the moment, Justin, even if we can populate this old database with the live annotations, that is fine. You may restrict it only to plant ontology and gene ontology.
Okay, I'll have to look and see how.
Or maybe even just starting with gene ontology is fine with me.
Well, I don't think it'll actually matter. I think it's the same amount of effort. It would actually take more effort to try to restrict it to a certain ontology, I think.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, having gene, the go in there is important, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if we want people to come and use it, so.
Right.
Yeah.
So that would make a bigger sense, because once you have the go as well as go annotations and the PO annotations together, then people can find out, hey, do we really see the same process or function happening across different tissue types and growth stages? And I think that's a very powerful statement when we show that data.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I think this gives us some good things to discuss and to start thinking about, and we put together, work towards putting together so that we can demo them at PhenoScape, or not PhenoScape, PhenoHarmonis. Yeah. We probably should wrap up here pretty soon. Okay. Anybody else have other things they want to bring up today?
So only thing, I mean, while Justin is looking at that stuff, the three of you, Mal, Lol, and Austin, can you chart up a plan for next, let's say, for the renewal on what kind of ontologies do we need? How do we, what is an effort that is required? And what are the priorities would be? And how do you want to accomplish it?
Right.
Annotations that Chris is saying is an excellent thing, but if, as we have seen, I think we should just experiment with the USDA germplasm. I don't commit on doing anything from the international unless we have access to that germplasm data from whatever it was.
But green is like international, it's not only US. I mean, people from CMIT, they publish all the germplasm information for wheat, I think.
Green is somewhat international, but it is talking only about the seeds that are held in the US seed repository. We do not talk about what is held outside. This is, if there is an entry in grin on the live grin, then it says, it means that there is a live specimen available with them. And so we can easily work with the grin, and we can say we can model it for the international subscribers or international germplasm databases.
But I agree. I mean, it's safer to use grin than Genesis, for instance.
Genesis is I think, is a good one. I believe all of grin would be in Genesis. So at some point, if you can work with the grin, that is fine, kind of things. Genesis, we need to still reach out to them. I don't know who was that person, but is there anybody coming at PhenoHarmonist?
Yeah, no, unfortunately, no. Nobody could make it, so no.
Where is it located?
It's in Bonn, in Germany.
Oh, my goodness. So, yeah. That is fine. We should invite the, can we, let's say in 2 weeks time, can we request asking Genesis guys to give us a seminar or webinar?
Yeah, apparently they were very busy with something. So yeah, I don't know about the time.
give them an offer. Give them an offer in next 3 weeks. And then if the days are not available, then we say, okay, in the next 1 month or so.
You want to arrange a call with the Genesis folks?
Yes, and ask them to give us a demo of their system and we are looking for future collaborative opportunities. But there should be something on the table for them to come and show.
Let's just go and take a look at there. Do we know, like, who would we contact there, Marie?
Like, Mattia... Obreja, I don't know how to pronounce his name. I'm gonna write it.
Yeah. Can you just pass on
you can pass it to
potential names for Genesis?
Sure. People?
Okay.
Or can I copy the email?
But I would say that she's germplasm. I think I would just stay with the current. Grin.
Yeah, but I agree. I mean, I think going for grin would be easier in a way.
And Austin, you already have the phenotypes recorded from the 3000 rice data?
Yep, those should already be in there, I think.
And if you can get in touch with the MazeGDB and Ed Buckler's group on the 5000 NAM population individuals.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
NAM population, and I believe they might have something similar. Was that Jesse Pullen might have something for wheat or Seth, what's his name? Seth is in Texas A&M who does sorghum. Seth Murray. Texas A&M for sorghum. So if you can have those, I think what I can tell you that maize NAM population is going for complete sequencing, all 5,000 individuals, and they already have phenotype data from three different locations over. Mm-hmm.
And we've already annotated some of that with traits that I worked with Mary on.
Yeah, so their traits should all be in. It would be a straightforward thing to work with the MazeGDB and Buckler's group.
And what was, I missed what you said about the Jesse Pullen's
wheat.
Yeah, that's wheat. Okay, he has a wheat population.
Do they have a like inbred line population in wheat?
He should have.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. And then there was a third one. What was the third one?
Seth Murray.
Seth?
Yes, Seth, S-E-T-H, and M-R-R-A-Y or E-Y.
And he's at Texas A&M.
I think, yeah. He's a sorry.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Wait, so I think...
Lots of stuff to think about for the next week or so.
Right. And what else?
Do you want to meet next Tuesday, Pankaj, or do you want
to
wait?
Yeah, I think we should continue because I need to follow up all the progress that you guys are making so that we can write a solid proposal. And please come up with how you want to do your major aim of the grant, that is ontology development and annotations.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I think we should maybe wrap up there then. Getting kind of busy in here. Anybody else have anything they want to go in or put out to discuss?
No, I'm fine. And Marie, I will be coming to the Fino-Harmonist meeting as well.
Yeah, Elizabeth told me that.
Yes. So, and I saw that on the agenda. It was you guys were speaking before me. So I requested her if I can speak before you guys so that I can tell that, hey, mapping things is the next talk.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no problem.
Otherwise, everybody has already done my job. I will just stand and say, I'm Pankaj and I'm
That'd be a great easy talk, though.
That will be my keynote.
Thank everybody. No, that would be good.
Thank you for coming and listening for all the fantastic work my folks are doing.
All right. Hey, Pankaj, yesterday I sent you a link to, I think I sent you a link to a Google spreadsheet with all the species we have in Paranoid for.
I saw that. Was it in the Skype or what?
No, it's on Google Docs. So I sent it I used the share link and I sent it to your Gmail. So I don't know exactly how you got it.
No. I'll just second. I think I should.
If you didn't get it, I can share it again.
I got it.
Okay.
I have.
I just wanted to make sure you got it because I didn't hear back.
I have it.
Okay.
Yep. So you are at 110 species right now, just plants.
Yes. I have a couple that aren't on this list. I didn't look that closely, but I know this is the last major and Paranoid run we did.
Yes.
I think we have a couple more that we've kind of randomly added and done like one-off runs. I might try to add those, but I just wanted you to check to make sure that the locations look good and if there's any other species you can think of that you want to add.
But there's no end to all those kind of things. There's always a new species every few months.
It's been almost 5 years, so I figure it's a pretty good time to start.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, and you have access. Yeah, I'll take a look at that and then come back to you.
Okay, not a big hurry because I'll be looking at the BLAST stuff for the old Planteum site.
Yeah.
Great. Okay, I'm going to